Tante Odette was a tiny and frugal woman with a mouth like a twisted-up button. She lived all alone in a little cottage at the edge of the forest. She was very content with her life. She had a pot of cabbage soup that was always bubbling on the back of the stove. Every day she added something to it so that nothing was wasted, and she always had something to eat. In the evenings, she would sit by her loom, weaving, with her fingers fluttering like pigeons back and forth. And for company, she had her little cat, Shushu. Really, she was very content, although sometimes as winter drew close, she would look down at Shushu sleeping by the fire and say, "Ah, my little cat, my Shushu, if only you could speak, what things you might say." But of course, Shushu was a cat, and cats do not speak. One night, as Tante Odette sat weaving, a knock came at the door. "Shushu," she said, "who could this be?" And when she opened it, there before her stood a man of the woods, with his bristly mustache sticking out like a broom beneath his nose. His hat was red, and so was his sash. He swept off his hat in one grand gesture, and he said, "Madame, I am Pierre Leblanc. I am an honest worker. I am one of the hivernants, the winterers of the voyageurs. I am looking for a place to work, a place to stay, and perhaps some food." And he eyed the pot on the back of the stove. Well, Tante Odette was not inclined to have house guests, certainly not men of the woods, but before she could shut the door on him, he spied Shushu. And he stopped her with his hand on the doorknob. "Madame," he said, "your cat, he seems quite intelligent. Why don't you ask his advice? Ask your cat if I should stay." Well, Tante Odette was just about to remind him that cats do not speak when Shushu spoke. "Come now," he said, with his voice purring through the fur. "Come now, look at him. He is cold and hungry, and I can tell he is an honest worker, this Pierre Leblanc. Invite him in. Give him something to eat." Well, Tante Odette simply stared, but what could she do? Shushu had never spoken before, and if this was the first bit of advice he was willing to speak up about, well, shouldn't she listen to him? A talking cat is a rare thing, after all. And so Pierre Leblanc was invited in. When he fell asleep that night, snoring up above in the loft, she bent down and she whispered to Shushu, "Are you sure? What do you really think of him?" But Shushu simply curled up with his tail over his nose and had nothing more to say. The days went by, and it proved indeed that Pierre Leblanc was a hard worker. He carried wood, he chopped wood, he brought water to the animals, and they were all content except, it seemed, Shushu. One day, as they were sitting down to another bowl of cabbage soup, Shushu finally spoke up. "Tante Odette," he said, "how can you expect a hard worker like Pierre Leblanc to exist, to work on nothing but cabbage soup? You must buy a little bit of meat." "Oh, but Shushu," she said, "meat is very expensive." "Oh," said Shushu, "what is money but for to spend?" And he would say nothing more about it. Pierre went outside to chop some wood, and Tante Odette crept over to the chest next to her loom. She opened the lid and took out the old woolen sock. She emptied the coins into her hand, and just as she was counting them out, showing them to Shushu, asking why he thought she should spend it on meat, the door opened, the wind blew in, and there was Pierre Leblanc. He put the wood down next to the fireplace, and Tante Odette hid the coins behind her back. Shushu spoke up. "Tante Odette, you have plenty of coins, and Pierre is the best haggler in all of Canada. Send him into the village and have him buy a leg of ham." Well, Tante Odette was not very interested in handing her money over to Pierre Leblanc, but again, it was Shushu who hardly spoke, and she felt she should take his advice. Against her better judgment, she put two coins into Pierre's hand and sent him off. He came home with a fine leg of ham, but no change. Instead, he had tobacco. But when she tried to scold him for it, Shushu scolded her. "Tante Odette, can you smoke coins? Can you eat money? Can it keep you warm at night? Money is to spend." "I suppose you're right," she said. It was only a few days after that when the second unusual thing happened. She was out covering up her garden bed with dry leaves for the coming winter when, The sound of horse hooves came across the yard. She looked up, and there was a rider, another man of the woods with his red hat and red sash. He leapt down from his horse. He swept off his hat in exactly the same way and said, "Bonjour, madame. My name is Georges, and I am looking for the finest trapper in all of Canada. His name is Pierre Leblanc. Tell me, madame, have you seen him?" "Yes," said Tante Odette. "I have indeed. In fact, you are not Pierre Leblanc. He has been staying here for some weeks now." "Ah," said Georges, "but there could be a million Pierre Leblancs in all of Canada. Tell me, does this Pierre, does he have a red hat and sash like mine?" "Yes, he does," said Tante Odette, "the very same." "Still," said Georges, "there could be 1,000 Pierre Leblancs in Canada with red hats and sashes. Tell me, madame, does this Pierre, does he have a mustache that sticks out like a bristly broom?" "Yes," she said, "he does." Georges thought a moment and then said, "Ah, but still there may be 100 Pierre Leblancs in Canada with red hats and sashes and bristly broom mustaches. Tell me, madame, can this Pierre Leblanc, can he throw his voice?" "Can he what?" "Can he throw his voice? Can he make it sound as if a voice is coming from the treetops or from the chimney or from the woodpile?" "What kind of devil voice is that?" said Tante Odette. "Most certainly he cannot. I wouldn't have one such as him in my house." When Pierre Leblanc came around the corner, he dropped what he was carrying. "Georges," he said. "Pierre," said Georges. They rushed at each other. They embraced. They kissed each other's cheeks, and they began to speak quickly. Tante Odette left them. She was very troubled, and she felt she must ask Chouchou for his advice. She went into her little house. Chouchou was curled up by the fire. She bent down low. "Chouchou," she said, "you must tell me what to do. What do you think about this devil voice, this throwing voices? I think it would be very unsettling. What shall we do?" But Chouchou simply blinked and said nothing. "Chouchou," she said, "answer me." But still Chouchou was silent. He had nothing to say. "Oh, how could you abandon me at this most important moment?" And she threw her shoe at him. That poor little cat ran outside, unsure of what he had done. That night, after Georges had left, and they were sitting down to eat a bowl of much-improved cabbage soup with ham, Tante Odette finally asked him what Georges had come to talk about. "Ah," said Pierre, and he stroked his mustache, "Georges has asked me to join him as a trapper for the long winter." "And will you do it?" Tante Odette wondered, not sure if she was hoping he would say yes or no. "Well," said Pierre, "you see, if I go with Georges, I will have much money in my pocket by the end of the winter, but I will not have a warm place to sleep, and I will certainly not have good food to eat. But if I stay here, well, I will have all of those things, all of those comforts, but," and he pulled on his pockets, "not a single coin." Oh, Tante Odette did not know what to do, but someone else did. "Tante Odette," said Chouchou, "how can you expect a hard worker like Pierre to stay here for nothing but room and board? I am sure if you give him a coin from time to time, he would be more than happy to stay with us." "But Chouchou," she said, "tell me again about the money." "Ah," said Chouchou, "yes, Tante Odette, listen closely. Money is to spend. Can money chop firewood or carry water? Can money keep you company and tell you stories in the evenings? Money is to spend." "Ah, yes," she said. "Thank you, Chouchou. Now I have it. Pierre, will you stay?" And so Pierre agreed. That night, after he had fallen asleep above in the loft, and Tante Odette was sitting at her loom, she looked down at Chouchou with a wink. "We have made ourselves a good bargain, have we not, Chouchou?" But Chouchou simply winked and curled his tail over his nose and had nothing more to say.